Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
This is Extra 106.3. The guest joining us now is running for governor in the state of Georgia. Certainly is a fan of the state of Georgia and loves it like the rest of us do. David Perdue, welcome to the Morning Extra, sir. How are you?
Good morning. Boy, I'm anxious to have this interview with you, man. I'm glad to be here. Thanks for letting me do it.
Oh, absolutely. It's always a pleasure to talk to people that want to make Georgia the best place in the world, because, I think it is the greatest place on earth. I was born and raised here, and I'll definitely die here. So I love Georgia like no other. And I wanted to start this conversation by talking about the budget, because we just discussed it on the show, and the fact that the budget for the state of Georgia is being touted as going up to $30 billion. And though all the things that I read in there about the budget talked about some good stuff happening, you know, pay raises for teachers and that sort of thing, I immediately, my gut reaction was, anytime the government gets bigger, that makes me nervous, and I don't like that. So how do you see that when you see the budget that the current governor, Brian Kemp, has proposed is up to $30 billion?
Well, first of all, government in the last 50 years in the United States, both at the state level and the federal level, have just exploded. The founders never intended for the central government or the state governments to be this big, and certainly I have the same reaction. It seems to me that we ought to be looking to discipline ourselves. These politicians, the more money they have, the more money they want to spend. As an outsider of this whole process, that's the biggest thing that I've observed over the last 6 years or so. But look, this budget is there's another dimension here. There's a bit of a campaign election year giveaway in here, too, that bothers me. And this is one of the reasons why in my campaign we're talking about eliminating the state income tax. I have this Parents' Bill of Rights. I want parents to know what is being taught to their kids. We've got to spend some money, make sure that this state is safe. The city is just out of control right now in Atlanta. A lot of people are seeing that. It's one reason why the economic forecast by a Georgia state economist is now saying that growth is going to slow in the state. So the danger you have is these budgets are forecast. If all of a sudden you don't produce $30 billion of revenue, you've got a real problem. And so there are several dimensions of this thing that bother me, but the biggest one is the one you mentioned, is that just because we can raise more money doesn't mean that we ought to have bigger government.
Yeah, absolutely. David Perdue joining us right here on the Morning Extra. So that would basically, and I just said it before you came on, how can you eliminate a state tax when you're asking for more money and you're putting $3 billion more next year into this budget?
Well, there are nine states that do not have a state income tax. I've studied this for years, and I've always had this opinion. We're getting left behind by states like Tennessee and Florida and Texas. Those are three of the nine that don't have state income tax. I've lived in two of those states, and I was born and raised right here in Georgia. And it breaks my heart to see us losing to a state like Tennessee. And so Mississippi, actually, the House of Representatives in Mississippi just this past week voted, passed a bill to eliminate their state income tax. So it obviously can be done. Other states have done it. It's time for Georgia to get serious and wrestle with this, because sooner or later we're going to lose that competitive edge. And there's forecasts coming from real bona fide economists saying that the bloom may be off the rose in terms of Georgia's attractiveness because of the safety issue, the tax issue, and several other things. So this is why I think we need a fresh look at this whole thing. But the bigger reason I got in this election was not those things. It's really because we have the conservatives in this state are very divided, and it's primarily over the election. The election, I think our governor has lost the confidence of the majority of Republicans in this state. That's why Donald Trump has endorsed me in this race. I think he knows that Brian Kemp can't win in November. And above all, if we want a Republican in the White House in 24, and we want a Senate majority again by getting Warnock out of the Senate, we have to win this governor's race. And right now, I just don't think our current governor can beat Stacey Abrams.
Is it the state income tax that would push you across the finish line against Stacey Abrams, or is it a combination of that and being – securing the elections more? Because I think SB 202 did a lot. Do you feel like it did enough? Or I guess there's a couple questions there. What is it that you think is going to push you across the finish line to beat Stacey Abrams?
Yeah.
And did SB 202 do enough, in your opinion, to secure elections that Republicans are concerned about?
Well, first of all, in November of 2020, I produced 2.5 million votes thanks to the people of Georgia. That's 460,000 more votes than Kemp produced in 18. My winning margin was twice his. We actually had about 90,000 votes more than the Democrat, which in every other state but one, I would have been reelected. We got caught short by these vagaries in the election, I think, with the 50% rule and got thrown into a runoff. And then a lot of Republicans had lost confidence in the system and didn't vote. And so what we've got to do right now is bring that confidence back. What Trump said in Virginia, I think, is the right message. Look, we've done a lot to fix the rules in Georgia. It's not perfect yet, but it's good enough. We can overwhelm it if we all get out and vote. And that's the story. If all the Republicans that voted in 20 get out and vote in 22, we will beat Stacey Abrams. But here's the reality. Stacey Abrams represents the worst of the Biden administration. She's more liberal than the people running the White House right now. I don't think Biden's running the White House, by the way, but the people who are running the White House are very liberal, and she's even more liberal than they. And so what we want to do is expose her for the liberal she really is. Trump calls her Stacey the Hoax Abrams, and I think that fits.
Yeah, I do, too. And I said it the other day, the reason she didn't want to stand by Biden when he came down here was she's a little bit more progressive than he is. And I think that's a way for her to appeal more to the progressives. I do want to talk to you about SB 221. And a lot of people don't know, but you filed a lawsuit against Brian Kemp and SB 221. And basically, it allows Kemp and other top lawmakers to kind of create a special committee that can raise these unlimited contributions. Talk about how that's unfair to someone like you who's coming in, but it will benefit someone like Stacey Abrams and benefit Brian Kemp.
Well, this is the crazy thing about this. I mean, when Stacey gets a hold of this thing, I mean, she'll put it on steroids. What the governor did is signed into law in the middle of the night last spring after the session, a law that allows the governor and lieutenant governor, no one else, the Senate committees and the House committees caucuses get to do the same thing. But the lieutenant governor and governor get to raise money outside of the contribution limits. This is unlimited money they can raise in a super PAC on the outside, and then they can coordinate and spend that money as if it were in their own campaign. I, as a challenger, can't do that, and I think that's a tremendous unlevel playing field. And so what we've done is just filed a suit to say this is unconstitutional. And so we feel very strong about that suit. It's too bad that we this. It just shows the desperation of somebody that's been in office for 20 years, like our governor, who will do anything to protect their incumbency. I mean, I ran against this in 14 as an outsider. I'm doing it again. Look, I'm running against the establishment right now. The political establishment in Georgia did not want me to run. But I'm representing the people. This is going to be a people versus politician race, and I already see it as I travel around the state and have been for the last year.
David Perdue joining us here on the Morning Extra. Of course, he's running for the governor of Georgia. Now, yesterday, Governor Kemp, in response almost to that, he files an ethics complaint against your campaign, saying that you're doing some things, raising money not in the correct way. How do you respond to his challenge of an ethics complaint?
Well, this is, Brian knows that I'm not associated with any outside fund. This is almost laughable. It's a very obvious and naive, desperate attempt to deflect away from the lawsuit, as you just mentioned, because the lawsuit is a law. He's already signed it. There's no question about what he's done. So he throws this ethics violation out there, potential violation, with no evidence at all, and he knows that I'm not associated with it. But it creates a great rhetoric, and he's trying to deflect away from the reality of what he signed into law last year. It's the height of corruption, in my mind, when a governor gives himself an advantage over any other incumbents. And the ironic thing is nobody looked forward and said, hey, wait a minute, if Stacey Abrams were to get elected, what in the world would she do with that law?
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
I mean, we may never get back the seat again if that were to happen.
I want to ask you
about the irony is, here's one more irony. I'm sorry.
Yes, sir,
this,
sure.
No,
go ahead.
I love this. This is how perverse politics are. I mean, the lawyer that signed that complaint on the ethics issue is exactly the same lawyer that signed the consent decree for Brian Kemp last year. The same one.
Huh.
Same guy.
Wow.
Interesting.
You can't make this stuff up.
Sometimes politics, it's hard to make it up because it doesn't seem like it could be real sometimes. This is Extra 106.3 talking to David Perdue, who's running for governor in the state of Georgia. I want to ask you about the changing dynamics of people living in Georgia. And what I mean by that is Hollywood. Like, for a long time, I was of the mindset, wow, Hollywood being in Georgia is really cool. I would be so proud because I love the state of Georgia so much. I would see, you know, at the end of a movie and the end of the trailer, it would say proudly produced in Georgia with the big old peach on there. And I thought, man, that's cool. Now I'm seeing the effects of the people that Hollywood would bring to Georgia. Typically very left-leaning mindset, and they're moving here. And it seems to be changing the dynamics of the state of Georgia. Do you notice that? Do you care about that? Is that something that that has hit anybody's radar screen other than mine?
Of course. I mean, since 2014, when I was elected, you know, we've added a couple million new voters in Georgia, and many of those are from states like California, Illinois, New Jersey, New York. These are failed states. There's a reason they're failed, because they've had Democratic leadership for decades. They have big tax states. I mean, I think the state income tax is over 13% in California. The real estate taxes are outrageous, and people are escaping that, and they're coming to places like Georgia. It's one of the reasons why we're losing out to states like Tennessee and Florida, though, by the way, is that we, you know, we still have a state income tax and they don't. But what we've got to do in Georgia is make our ethos more compelling. The conservative way of life is much better when you run these states, when you run cities and so forth, and even a country. We've proven our values work. Look, nobody's got all the right answers, but if you look at the Biden administration right now, look at California, look at Illinois, these are failed efforts to run administration. And so they think that they're going to come here, bring that same political ethos, but enjoy all the benefits of being in a low-tax state, in a state that has good education and reasonable housing. So great health care, great education. So, I mean, it's a paradox, and we got to, through that period of time, as people come here, wherever they come from, we've got to do a better job of selling them why conservatism really works. And we've got all the evidence in the world why these extreme progressives, if you say, all their things that they've tried to do don't work. That's what this general election is going to be about. If I get in it with Stacey Abrams, we're going to make sure the people of Georgia know exactly what she wants to do in Georgia, which is even worse than some of the things they already do in California.
Yeah, it's almost scary. And we joked the other day, we said, hey, if we have to show vaccine passports one day in these other states, they need to show their voting record, and we'll decide whether they're allowed to come in here or not. So we'll see if that'll happen. One of the things that we were talking about, too, is that during the entire legislative session, and when they were talking about the session and what they want to put in, Buckhead City became a big thing, and people started talking about it. And Kemp, who has already, you know, we've had him on the show, and he said, this isn't really part of my thing, and what's up to them, which is great, because I always like when we leave things up to individual cities, individual states, before we get to a federal level. And then when his lieutenant governor comes out and then says, hey, we're going to push this to the Democrats, you came out right away and said that, hey, Buckhead is allowed to be able to vote and do this. And this is in response to things that are going on in this country, like crime and taxes that Buckhead is dealing with. Do you think they made a big mistake and alienated some of those Republicans in Buckhead that might not be Trump supporters? Do you think you'll get them on your side now?
Well, I don't know. I mean, that's not the reason I came out with it. I came out, if people asked me, said, well, what do you think about the Buckhead City thing? I said, well, first of all, I trust the people of Buckhead. Don't we live in a democratic republic where if you have an issue like that, the way we resolve differences is you have a vote and the majority rules. So, and that's all I said was I support having a vote. Now, what the governor has said is, oh, he's staying out of it. And the reason is that a lot of the downtown business politicians are in the political elite establishment that are supporting Brian. They have to. They support an incumbent government. And that's what we're up against. This race is people versus politicians. The governor's been in elected office for over 20 years. And so this is the reality that you have in a transactional state. Look, what people in Georgia are upset about is the fact that the city of Atlanta right now is tied with Chicago as the murder capital of America. That's unacceptable. It's one of the things that's really, I think, losing our competitive edge with these other states. So that's one of the things I'm pushing. The other is a parent's bill of rights. I mean, what we've got to do is give parents the opportunity and right to know what their children are being taught. Right now in some counties, they have to sign a non-disclosure agreement to see what is in the curriculum. So Going back to the Buckhead issue, though, I just believe personally that what you saw come out from the lieutenant governor is really what the governor has pretty much told him to say, and that is they're going to bury this thing.
Yeah, and they're going to try to bury it and try not to let people get their voice out. You know, one thing, and I got to be completely honest, I've always liked you. I've always enjoyed you. I've always voted for you when I've had the opportunity to. And I got really nervous when you entered this race. And, you know, I kind of thought the same thing, that this is a, you know, you might divide the party. And, you know, you said one thing, and I really kind of made me change my mind about why you're jumping into this race, because it is already divided. And when you said that, and people always say, if you can't beat John Ossoff, how are you going to beat Stacey Abrams? But you brought up a great point. We did lose a lot of confidence in the voting system. And there are other things that went on throughout, you know, this entire campaign that has really, you know, people are just kind of ignoring about why you entered this race.
You know, Trump has endorsed me in this race, and the reason he has, he knows I'm the only one that can beat Stacey Abrams in November, and the reason for that is that whoever beats Stacey has got to pull the party together, and that means you got to get normal Republicans, you got to get the suburbs, and you have to get the Trump voters. And so in the January election, after I had produced 90,000 more votes than Ossoff did, and in every other state for one would have been reelected, but we have this archaic 50% rule, and we were just a few thousand votes short of that. And then a lot of people got, they lost confidence in the system and did not come back out and vote. And we know the result. Mm-hmm. Now, after November, what most people don't realize is, and this is why Trump's endorsing me, because he knows I've been in there fighting alongside of him from 16 when he was a candidate. There were only two U.S. senators supporting him. I was one of them. We got him elected. I helped author the economic program that created the best economic turnaround in U.S. history with Trump. And then in 20, he and I ran side by side trying to get elected. And after November, I've been fighting alongside him to find out what happened and make sure it never happens again. I was a plaintiff on three lawsuits in November of 20 after the election. I asked for Raffensperger's resignation. I asked several times for a special session to look at the signatures to no avail. I'm actually now filed a lawsuit about a month ago to see if a candidate has legal standing on the Jeffords case, which was a voter suit that was dismissed because the court said that it did not have legal standing after last May when the judge said that the evidence they had about 2020 was compelling, and he was going to rule that they could unseal the absentee ballots in Fulton County, which is what they were seeking. But then he dismissed the case because they don't have legal standing. I want to find out if I have legal standing. If I do, then there will be an investigation in that, not to undo the November election, right, but to find out what happened and make sure it never happens again.
See, that's the key right there. Yeah. I think people do want to know. I really do. And I don't think anybody is saying we're going to go back and undo anything.
No.
You know, but they want to know, and I think you're spot on with that. And
well, it's got to be done. Yeah. I mean, and now you see the governor, the governor's actually now has been in denial since November. This is why he's out of sorts with Trump. I mean, we tried to work this out all year, just like Lindsey Graham and Rand Paul and Ted Cruz. I was involved in all of those, and they now are best friends with Trump, and they were in worse shape than our governor. But the governor just doesn't think it's necessary, and so he hasn't done it. That's why we're divided in this state right now, because of the denial that he has made about anything happening. The irony is that he and Raffensperger now, in an election year, have come up and said, the governor's actually written a letter to the State Board of Elections saying there's an error that was found by a private citizen that brought it to me. I told him to go talk to the governor. They did. This was months ago. And the governor now is saying, well, this is a 4,000 error, that too many votes for Biden. That's just one error in one county that he now is acknowledging. Raffensperger now has said publicly that he may look at the cell phone data on this harvesting issue after a year of denying that anything like that could have happened.
Yeah, it's fascinating. Yeah. All of it. We got to run, we got a break, but thank you so much, Mr. Perdue, for your time and for your passion for the state of Georgia. I certainly appreciate that.
God bless you guys. Thank
God
you.
Bless
for
you.
Having
God bless you.
Speak
you
soon.
Tonight in Arkansas, there's a mother tucking in her daughter and turning off the light. A business owner is burning the midnight oil. An at-home dinner date is plating up possibility. And it's all happening under one roof. How? The power of a conversation, like the one John from Integrity Solutions had with First Horizon Bank about his vision for a sustainable mixed-use building. Now it's not just words, it's life. First Horizon Bank, let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/John. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Is there chaos in your closet? Look, Blouse, you've got some nerve hanging there like that.
I can't help it. I'm jammed in here next to this suit.
Hey, I'm a three-piece, all right, which means I need a little more room.
You've got a lot of attitude for a linen suit.
I'm a polyester blend, sweetheart, and there needs to be room for men's clothes, too.
Hi, I'm Christina, and at Artisan Custom Closets, we help families organize and simplify their closets with customized storage solutions. See what's possible for your home at artisancustomclosets.com, and then call us for a free in-home consultation.